It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll talk about some of the biggest issues facing Native communities in Wisconsin during our discussion of today's State of the Tribes address.
First, the United States Supreme Court heard oral arguments this week in a case that could determine the ultimate future of the Affordable Care Act. At issue here are subsidies and whether Congress intended for the Federal Health Insurance Exchange to offer the same subsidies as the state exchanges.
If the court rules against the government, it could spell serious trouble for the health care law and the nearly 12 million people who've signed up for coverage under it. More specifically, what could it mean for Wisconsin, a state that opted against opening a state exchange?
Tom Oliver joins us now. He's a professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at UW-Madison and the director of UW's Master of Public Health program. Tom, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Well, there's a lot of Affordable Care Act out there. This case focuses on the subsidies part. What exactly is being challenged here?
Well, what's being challenged by Mr. King, the lead plaintiff, is that he's actually harmed because of subsidies that would make health insurance affordable for people with income at his level. He's arguing that without the subsidies, the insurance premiums would be considered unaffordable, meaning about 8.5% of his income or more, and he would not be required to purchase coverage at all. So it's a very backwards kind of logic here that he's actually being harmed because of something that would help him get health insurance.
Who would be affected if the Supreme Court rules in the plaintiff's favor and ends a particular group of subsidies under the Affordable Care Act?
Well, there's about 8 to 9 million people who have purchased insurance coverage in states that do not have exchanges that they set up themselves. In other words, their state, 34 states, have elected to let the federal government set up an exchange in their state. And so all of those who have purchased insurance and qualify for the subsidies in those states would be affected. So I think it's about 8 to 9 million people. And it's about 183,000 people right here in Wisconsin, which is about 4% of the population that is not eligible for Medicare.
So what would that mean for, say, a Wisconsinite who's right now signed up, right now receiving subsidies? What do we know about what would happen to them if the court ruled against the Affordable Care Act here?
Well, they'd have a few options. The first is obviously to purchase the insurance with no financial assistance whatsoever, which would be a huge barrier for most people, as you know. It's many thousands of dollars for individuals and even more than that for family coverage. The second thing would be to go back to their employer and see if there's coverage available through the employer. But the reason most people came to the insurance exchanges in the first place is that there's not an affordable insurance option through their place of work.
And if someone's in a state that has its own exchange, this is a non-issue for them right now. Is that right?
Exactly. And so there's talk of two different sets of states that, and so it's really a big issue as to why this came up in the first place. And the entire thing is a really curious and mysterious kind of situation because, first of all, just to go back, the Circuit Court of Appeals voted unanimously to reject the plaintiff's claims and upheld the subsidies for residents in every state. So it's a mysterious situation where four justices on the Supreme Court elected to take the case, which is why it's hearing it in the first place. The other thing that's interesting is that Mr. King, the lead plaintiff, is reportedly a Vietnam veteran, and he apparently qualifies for health care coverage through the VA and isn't even required to buy his own insurance through an exchange set up under the Affordable Care Act. So whether he is even eligible to have brought the case in the first place is a big question. And then the other, you know, more important thing is in years and years leading up to, during and after the Affordable Care Act being passed in Congress and being implemented, there is not a hint in the testimony, the congressional debates, or congressional reports by nonpartisan agencies that residents that did not set up insurance exchanges, residents in those states would not qualify for the same financial assistance as residents in the states that did set up their own exchanges. So, you know, in the real world of legislative activity in most of the decades and centuries leading up to today, Congress would have fixed this in about 2 minutes by clarifying and confirming its intent. But right now we're stuck with the Supreme Court looking at four or five words buried way inside the Affordable Care Act and deciding if that means something that is critical to the lives of millions of people across the country and hundreds of thousands right here in Wisconsin. I mean, we're talking about all the residents of Eau Claire and all the residents of Green Bay basically being told you have no health care coverage. That's, you know, that you can't buy entirely on your own.
At the state level, is there anything Wisconsin could do either in anticipation of this ruling or after it came down to prepare for the end of those subsidies?
Well, first of all, the question is, if the Supreme Court rejects, you know, accepts the language on its face that said that the exchange not established by the state as opposed to those or an exchange established by the federal government on behalf of a state. If that was turned down and those subsidies weren't available, the Supreme Court could put a delay in effect and say you have X amount of time for the states to set up their own exchanges and conform with the law as interpreted. It could obviously, an awful lot of states who never once thought that they were making that kind of a major decision on behalf of their residents would probably kick into gear and go ahead and set up their own exchanges in order to gain access to those subsidies for their residents. But presumably not all states would choose to do that. The other problem is state legislatures usually meet for only a few months each year. And so if the Supreme Court in June makes that kind of a decision, it would be till next January before most state legislatures would even be back in operation to do this. And it's a question of whether a lot of state legislatures would come back into special session in the interim to set up and pass something that would require the government administratively to set up these exchanges.
So if the Supreme Court, again, rules against the White House here, overturns this part of the Affordable Care Act, how big a blow is that to Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act?
Well, it's significant only because it really is the thing that the subsidies are the thing that go along with requiring people to buy insurance. So if you're going to mandate that people buy insurance and participate in the pool on the grounds that someday they'll get sick and they'll need this insurance and they ought to participate now and not wait until they get sick. Without those subsidies, it's not really a tenable argument. And it's only a small portion of the entire insurance market, but it's a key one for individuals who otherwise can't get insurance through their place of work or retirement or some other kind of option. And so when these individual insurance markets have had to survive on their own in the past, only a few pretty wealthy people can really afford the premiums over the long haul, and anyone who really needs it but only has a modest income can't afford it, and the marketplace really falls apart. And so that was the experience in the 1980s and 90s and early 2000s. And so this is really fixing a well-understood problem, and it would be, you know, pretty tragic for a lot of people if they can't get access to insurance coverage buying it with hundreds of thousands of other people instead of having to buy it on their own.
Briefly, as we wrap up, this is not the first legal challenge, but if this one fails, the Supreme Court rules that the subsidies stay, do you see any other likely challenges that could derail the law, or is this kind of the last resort?
Well, the thing about this law is that it's been a major partisan battle for all ever since it was contemplated. Not a single Republican voted for it when it was passed in Congress, and not a single Republican today would vote for it from all appearances. So it really is a question for the 2016 election and what happens in the in the presidency, if there's someone in the White House who is also opposed to the Affordable Care Act, and in the U.S. Senate, where 60 votes would allow passage along with a majority in the House of Representatives to repeal the act in part or in whole. The question between now and then is whether people will come to value the act so much that it would become politically unviable to pull it back and get rid of it.
Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob.
That was Tom Oliver, professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at UW-Madison, talking about this latest Supreme Court legal challenge to the Affordable Care Act.